Well, now to Chimerica. It's a play about that incredible Tank Man photo taken during the Tiananmen Square massacre.
So, okay, I'm standing there. My editor's on the phone having a conniption, and the Tank Man, he just walks out. He just walks right out. My heart
is
just...
I know you said, then the gods come, and then you put the films in the toilet system.
Right, and then he's just gone. He's just... This guy, Jiang Lin, this guy, I still can't. Because how does a guy like that just disappear? To come out of a massacre, to have the wherewithal, to stand up, to say, this is wrong, and someone has to say so.
And that's part of a political drama purposely made for the stage, though of course some of what we're seeing on a daily basis lately in real life makes fiction seem tame. On Saturday Extra, we couldn't overlook this play based on interaction between the two superpowers of the moment, the US and China, drawing on imagined consequences of June the 4th, 1989, the Tiananmen Square massacre. The playwright, Lucy Kirkwood, took 6 years to craft a complex thriller based on those epic events, plus depictions of some unexpected attitudes that have developed in the aftermath in both the US and China. And she's called it Chimerica, a word first coined by the Scottish historian Neil Ferguson to describe the symbiotic relationship between the two countries and civilizations, really, influencing so much in the world around us. It won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best New Play in the West End, and now it's coming to Australia. It'll be the first outing for Kip Williams as artistic director of the Sydney Theatre Company, having been well known in Melbourne for his opera and theatre work, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Geraldine.
So what has Lucy Kirkwood tried to achieve with this play? Maybe you can just summarise the essence of it, please.
Well, something quite remarkable. I mean, the title of the play suggests that the protagonists are China and America, and there is a sense in which that is true. But she distills the tensions of these two superpowers into a very personal human tale, one where we are able to understand the consequence of the actions of these two great superpowers in relation to the individual. And she does it in a way that's intensely moving, very funny, and ultimately exciting. I mean, the characters you heard at the top just there were the photographer who took the photo of Tank Man Joe and his friend Jiang Lin. And it's at the very top of the play where his friend Jiang Lin actually suggests that Tank Man might be alive and that he might be living in America. And so Joe, who has had his entire existence read through the lens of that Tank Man photo, sets upon a quest to uncover the true identity of Tank Man. So there's a thriller aspect to it as well.
Mm.
So it's a remarkable piece of writing.
And it's immensely challenging, I must say. And it's 3 hours long. I just warn people who like sort of short plays with interval, you know, with no interval. It's complex. There's a lot of people on stage, and we'll get to that in a moment. And it really covers... It covers, you know, the dramas in the media world at the moment in terms of whether you can aspire to big, bold writing and photos, you know, and it covers censorship in China and so on and so forth. There was, in fact, a Tank Man. In fact, the acclaimed Australian cameraman Willie Foy took some moving footage of him, and I think there are 6 different images of him taken by different photographers. And as I understand it, his identity is still a mystery. So Lucy Kirkwood's used this as a jumping-off point, hasn't she, to examine the obsessions of the modern countries. That's how I read it anyway.
That's very, very true. And that's actually very, very much the case in the play. It's based on one of the photographers, actually, Jeff Widener, who took probably the most iconic of those 6 versions of the Tank Man image. And he's the one who, as we heard in the scene before, hid the film of that Tank Man image in the cistern of a toilet just before his hotel room was stormed by the Chinese military. And then 2 days later, he made his way back through the back streets of Beijing and uncovered the film from the cistern of the toilet. And that's one of the reasons we have the most iconic image of Tank Man. But he's largely believed by many people to be alive and living in Beijing today or in America today. Yes, truly. I met with, whilst I was there a few months ago, with a journalist who was working for Time magazine at that point in time. And he's convinced that Tank Man is still alive.
Yes, it certainly has a. It's got. It's that's what brings the thriller element to it, I suppose. And I won't do. We won't reveal the permutations
no
of the plot. No,
yes.
But it covers this big span of modern history, and it's very ambitious in trying to chart huge changes in attitude between the countries and between the people themselves. Neither group really understands the modern version of each other, do they?
I think that's very true. I mean, one of the things that Kirkwood captures in the play is this tense relationship between the two cultures. I mean, they're almost dangerously interdependent upon one another, in that there's immense amounts of economic investment in both directions to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. There's a sense of cultural absorption in both directions in terms of fashion, in terms of food, and yet that there is militaristic tension between the two cultures and a kind of standoffish competition between the two cultures for supremacy. And so that kind of ticking time bomb of the chimerica relationship, the unsustainability of that relationship, is something that is unravelled. I mean, one of the things we witnessed and that Kirkwood was witnessing at the time of writing the story is the global financial crisis and several hundred million people in America reneging on their mortgage repayments. And one of the questions she asks as China becomes more and more economically attuned to the American way of trading is what happens when you have 1.3 billion people renege on their mortgage and credit card repayments. So
yes,
it's one of the questions that we're asking ourselves today.
Well, indeed she does. I mean, as I said, she really tries to cover everything. But let's listen to another part of the play from your rehearsal to give listeners this sense of the culture clash that the playwright tries to build into this, quotes, thriller.
You know how much has changed, how fast?
Sure, but seriously, this country...
This country owns you. You don't get to lecture us anymore. I subscribe to this website for my teaching. It sends me new American slangs and phrases each week. You know what phrase I learned this week? Fiscal cliff.
I remember being here in 1989 and there was hope. On the streets, in the square, people imagining like a future or whatever.
I don't want to talk about this.
No, I know. It's just only I saw it too.
Yes, up in your hotel room, taking pictures behind your camera, plane ticket in your pocket. I was there, down there in the square, bullets the size of your thumb, yes? Dum-dums, they open up inside you. They turn the lights out on us. They turn the lights out to scare us, and then, I don't know, maybe they did not come back on again for me.
Well, in fact, Zhang Ling's wife, Liu Li, has an amazing little hope because she was pregnant, turns out. And she has this piece from the script that I'm going to read you because I found it very affecting. She says, "We're going to have a baby," to Zhang Lin. "It's going to be born in the future. It's going to be a great artist. It's going to be a doctor. It's going to own a shop. It's going to have a doorbell with an electric chime. It's going to have a car with a refrigerator in it and a rubber dinghy and three pairs of Levi's. It's going to have five brothers and sisters who look just like it. And all my children will be fat and happy and clever and kind. You wait. Just you wait."
It's extraordinary.
It really, that is a moment, I must say, of, well, of course, that doesn't occur.
Yes.
So what do you think she wants us to take away? It's such a simple question from such a complex play.
Well, but that is the question, isn't it? Well, Liuli says that in 1989, amidst the student protests in the Tiananmen Square. It's a point in China's history where, at its peak, 1 in 10 people in China were protesting for political and economic reform. It's an extraordinary thing to think about a country today which is so regulated by its government that 1 in 10 people could be protesting. And she's in 89 dreaming of a future where she could have all of the freedom of the West, all of the kind of agency that she sees available to Americans. And what Kirkwood then shows us in 2012 in a more contemporary Beijing is the cost that China has absorbed through having to rapidly develop in the way that it has. So yes, as we hear between Zhang Lin and Zhou, they have Starbucks, they have McDonald's, they have Nike shoes, but they have immense amounts of pollution. There's a female character, Ming Zha Li, who's 59 and dying of lung cancer and she's never smoked a day in her life from the pollution in Beijing. So there's a real cost at play through the kind of rapid economic development that China has undergone.
But in a way, because I don't think the Americans come out of it well, Lucy
Koo,
because the Americans seem to have become deeply shallow, if I can put it like that.
That's right. I mean, there's another extraordinary exploration in the play, which is to do with greed. And of course, in a play that looks at capitalism in America and communism in China and various economic models, greed and money and self-interest are always going to come to the fore. But Kirkwood looks at it in a way which is not just about the forces of greed outside of us, governmental models, economic models. She looks at the forces of greed within us. And even Joe, who is somebody who wants to re-inspire the world through an image of hope, the image of Tank Man, through bringing him back to our public consciousness, is someone who throws a lot of people
certainly
under the bus
does.
In order to
he
get there.
Sure does. And look, we're just going to have to go because the news is coming upon us. But Kip Williams, good luck with the play. It opens on the February the 28th, goes through till April the 1st, is that right?
Yes, it does.
Opening night next Saturday at the Roslyn Packer Theatre in Walsh Bay. Chimerica, it'll probably travel. Thank you very much, Kip.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Cheers.
And that's it for us today. I want to thank our great team, Kate McDonald, Belinda Summer, Anne Arnold, and sound engineer Lila Schooner. Thanks to all our guests, and do stay with RN all through the weekend. We have great listening on the weekend and, of course, on our radio app. So till next week, bye-bye from all of us here at Saturday Extra.